You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Life Healthcare Group has reported a healthy operating performance for the six-month period to 31 March 2024, growing group revenue from continuing operations by 7.8% to 11.7 billion rand. Normalized earnings per share increased by 8.4% and total HEPS increased by 63%. And during the period, the group concluded the disposal of Alliance Medical Group. We find out how that has helped the results. We speak now to Peter Wharton-Hood, CEO of Life Healthcare. Peter, thank you very much for your time this evening. Maybe let's start with characterizing the results.
Thank you very much, and it's wonderful to join you this evening. The overview was that we said we were in a very competitive and difficult market during the 6 months, introduction of new competitors along the way, and a static insured market, which basically says the number of people with medical aids didn't go up, which makes for difficult times for a private hospital group. Having said that, we think that this set of results shows that the strategies that we've put in place are really starting to get a grip and get some traction. And we're delighted to report a growth in paid patient days of just over 2.7%, which is somewhat remarkable in a tough environment, and everything else flowed from that. And yes, we're pleased with how that played out.
Mm-hmm. You speak of strategies that you put in place that have yielded some fruit. And during the period, you concluded the disposal of Alliance Medical Group. How did that boost the net cash proceeds?
Substantially. Alliance Medical Group was a wonderful asset for us to hold. It was a wonderful asset for the private equity team to buy. It just didn't suit the shareholder requirements from a cash perspective. It was cash absorptive and it was growing. And the disposal of Alliance Medical Group for a healthy profit of just short of 2 billion rand released a whole lot of borrowings, which reduced our net debt to 0.8 times EBITDA, which is the lowest gearing or borrowings that this company has had in its history. So we end up with what I would call, as a banker, a fortress balance sheet.
Mm. How did the non-acute portion of the business, in terms of your strategy, also perform?
We were delighted with the non-acute or complementary services pieces of our business. Our imaging business grew revenue by 33%, and our renal business was double-digit revenue growth at 10.8%. So those two stalwarts in the complementary services business certainly show that Life Healthcare's attention to businesses outside of the hospital businesses is also getting some traction. And there's some exciting developments in the wings as we improve our oncology offering and later in the year when we talk about our radiopharmacy and cyclotron business, which will be going live.
Mm. Let's look at the different segments, right? So we've spoken about non-acute. What of the acute hospital business delivering some 5.5% revenue growth?
Yes, and there we can see that the traction that to which I referred earlier was really around the deals that we struck with the large medical aids. In effect, what our network deals with the medical aids was all about was we said, if you give us more volume, we'll do it at a lower price. That's good for healthcare, that's good for South Africa, and it's good for Life Healthcare because we got more business into our hospitals. As you grow volumes through the hospitals, your efficiencies start to improve. And we're delighted to record that in our outlook statement, we'll have occupancies just over 70%. And as I speak to you, our hospitals are 74% full, which is a significant improvement on the prior and way better than we ever were during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Renal dialysis treatments increasing 8.5%, the highest ever, we understand?
It is too, and that complements the acquisition that we made during the course of the year, which goes live on the 1st of April, so that's excluded from the results. With our FMC acquisition, we will end up with just over 1,100 renal stations, treating just over 4,000 patients and delivering about 500,000 dialysis treatments to patients annually. So we're really excited about the contribution that we can make to healthcare and for patients suffering from chronic kidney disease.
Mm. What of the group's complementary services growing some 7.9%?
Well, in that sense, that's the aggregate of mental health, which grew 6, renal, which was just short of 11, imaging at 33. Oncology and rehabilitation were disappointing for us during the course of the year. Both of those showed slight reversals. And there's work to be done getting that positioning right. Some of it's to do with our footprint, and some of it's to do with increasing the number of clinicians that operate on those specific specialist platforms. In healthcare services, our Life Health Solutions business, which delivers wellness and occupational healthcare services to big corporates, grew by 6%. And Life in Canisa, which is our public-private partnership with government, with just short of 3,000 beds, grew by a remarkable 13% during the period.
Mm. You speak of your footprint and sales in Neurosec, is that how I say it, in the United States, delivering quite healthy results for the current period?
Absolutely, and really very exciting. If we had this conversation 3 years ago, the skeptics all said that that wasn't a business worth having. But fortune favors the brave, and we've been in the right place at the right time. A remarkable increase in sales. And that's driven by the fact that in the United States, the FDA approved treatment for Alzheimer's disease. And if there's an approved treatment, then the demand for diagnostics goes up. And we obviously play in the diagnostic space. And with the medical aids in the United States prepared to reimburse patients for both the treatment for Alzheimer's and the diagnostics, we've got a perfect storm developing that has resulted in an impressive improvement in sales, but we've still got a long way to go. And we're hopeful that sales of Neuraceq can hit somewhere between 2,700 and 3,000 doses per month by the end of our financial year end in September. And then it really gets exciting.
Mm. You mentioned the words excitement and a perfect storm, and do pardon my way of thinking, but more so when we speak of the National Health Insurance Bill, which was signed into law last week, Wednesday, this time last week, by the President of South Africa. Your position as a group
remains unchanged. For a long time, we've said, on the one hand, we definitely support the ideal that's envisaged with NHI as a healthcare provider, as a South African, as a human. Who could deny that that's not a great outcome for South Africa? Where we've taken a strong stance is we don't believe that the way that the government is going about it is the right way to do it. From first principles, our contribution during the parliamentary processes and hearings were ignored. We spent a lot of time, money, and effort synthesizing an approach which we thought would be a valuable contribution to the deployment of NHI, and it's been ignored. What we really advocated for was a practical approach to NHI, which was, let's start with the base, the grassroots of delivery. If we're going to extend more healthcare to more South Africans, we need more doctors. Where are they going to come from? We need more nurses. Who's going to train them? We need more skilled hospital managers. Managing a hospital is a really difficult job. We need more of those types of skills and specialists in the country. Let's create them and let's manage the infrastructure that the government already has at its disposal and improve the quality of the delivery. Instead, the focus has been on a piece of legislation and arguments about funding, and we think that that is the wrong way to go about it. And in terms of funding, we don't believe that a single payer system is financially responsible, and it leads to too much risk concentration in the system. So we support the ideal, but we think we need to be more practical as a country to get this done. And we want to collaborate and help government achieve this enviable goal by being partners with them. So we extend the hand of partnership and collaboration, and we'd like to play a strong role, but we'd also like to be listened to.
Fair enough. The outlook as we look ahead?
We think that we can maintain occupancy levels in excess of 70% in our hospitals, which does give us critical mass and scale. We think that for the year to September, we can grow paid patient days by roughly 2%, which is a strong result in a difficult market. And in tandem with that, we will continue with our focus on the non-acute services and complementary by investing in imaging services. We've got some deals that are already underway. We'll continue to grow on a brownfields basis by adding ICU bed capacity to some of our bigger hospitals, and in so doing, deploy the CapEx so that our growth momentum is maintained. And then, of course, we have to maintain and underpin our emphasis on sales of Neuraceq in the United States, because that is definitely a growth vector which we need to make sure we deliver on.
Peter, thank you very much for your time this evening. Peter Wattenhood, CEO of Life Healthcare.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.